In 1 Peter 4, verse 7, I just want to jump off of that scripture. And it reads, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." Wow, this is a scripture that seems a little negative here. The end is at hand. Now, when this scripture was written, yes, they were expecting the day of the Lord and Jesus Christ, just as we are expecting it today, and we are so much closer to the end in the sense of the day of the Lord, that the things the way we know earth, the things of the world will end the way we know it, and we will go into another dispensation, the day that we will see Jesus face to face. But you know what? You may be in your life at the end of other things. If your life should end tonight, God forbid, that would be the end for you. The end would have come for you, right? Maybe you are in some situation in your life, in some circumstance, you feel like you are at the end of your rope. The Bible is clear here. The word of the Lord is clear. What is it saying to us? It is saying, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. The word serious and watchful is used interchangeably in the word, but in this instance, this is what it means. Serious means in a right mind. The Bible says, be in a right mind. And there's only one mind that is right, and that is the mind of Christ. So in order for us to have a right mind, we need to get the mind of Christ. We need to think the way God thinks. We need to line up our thinking with the Word of God when we pray. Secondly, it is saying here, and watch. That word means abstain from wine, actually, literally, or discreet. Now, how many of you know, you would not know anything about this, I know, but how many of you could imagine when you get intoxicated by wine, you lose your discretion, right? And just as wine can intoxicate you physically, the things of this world will literally intoxicate you, will rub off on you, and you will lose your discretion. You won't have discretion. You won't make good decisions. You will be intoxicated. So we need to be detoxed. And this is so good that you are here tonight. We are going to pray, and the Holy Spirit is going to help us in all that. And then it says, serious and watchful in your prayers. And that word in, some translations say into or unto, and that really means it denotes a place, a point, a time, or a purpose reached in prayer. Now listen, when we say we are entering into prayer, it excites me so much, because when we enter into the place of prayer, we are really stepping out of the natural into the supernatural. When we come to the Lord, Bible says pray continually. And you pray while you're driving. You pray while you're washing dishes. You pray constantly. But there's a place that you come to, that you go to the Lord in prayer, and you literally leave the things of the world behind you, and you step into prayer, into that place of prayer, where you step from the natural into the supernatural, where you step out of your circumstances into the miraculous, where you step from the humanly possible into the humanly impossible. And that is the place of prayer. And a few things I want to share with you as I was thinking about sharing with you tonight, a few things that have been meaningful to me in my life in prayer that I am sure will be a blessing to you and may help you think about. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, we're talking about this place of prayer. And before I read that scripture, let me give you the topic of the exhortation tonight. I want to mention a few things about the pleasures of the place in prayer. There are pleasures in the place of prayer. Listen to this. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, your giving hand, are pleasures, delight, forevermore." Then we read in Psalm 36:8, "They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them to drink from the river of your pleasures." Oh my word, if we can just see that in our mind's eye, that we come to that place of prayer. It's a place of closeness to God that you get to drink from the rivers of God's pleasure. There's pleasure. There's pleasure in a place of prayer. And when I was thinking about that, I thought the first thing that came to my mind is that prayer is a place of love. So let me share with you, be grounded in love. I'm talking about prayer. You say, what in the world does prayer have to do with love? Everything. Because let me tell you what, you're going to be in a place of prayer and things may happen that you don't want to happen in your life. Things may not work out the way you anticipate for it to work out. And there's a place that you get in love, in prayer, that it is about love. It is about a love relationship with God. It is not a place that you go to just say a few words and hope something appears magically. It is not a place that you go when you're in need. Yes, the word says we need to run to Him. We're near to Him. We ask Him. But let me tell you what. That place of prayer is a place of love. It is a place that you enter into in communion with God, that is that you stay in His love and you are so aware of His love. There's been a time, my husband mentioned it briefly this morning, when I stood next to the deathbed of my husband and he was 28 years old. 28 years old is too young to be on a deathbed. And I had a relationship at that point. We have given up everything we know to give up for the Lord and for the sake of the kingdom. And I would go into prayer alone and I would say, God, just cry out to the Lord. And I was so desperate. I would say to God, I said, God, and I could almost see Jesus. I would say, Lord, I do not, even if you have turned your back on me, which I know you haven't, but I surely don't feel you right now. Even if you've turned your back onto me, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to drag my hurting sick soul along, but I am not going to let go of you because I choose to believe that you love me. I choose to believe. I've always believed it all my life. Why would I now stop believing that you love me? Choose to love. The Bible also says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, strength, all your mind. There's a place that we have to love God back. Let me tell you what, the place of prayer is a place, there's pleasure, because it's a place where you get to love God back. You love Him back. I'm reminded of Hannah, that was a barren woman in the Old Testament. He didn't have babies, and her husband married another woman who was socially acceptable those years to have children, and she started, second wife started having children, and she started mocking Hannah because Hannah didn't have children. What did Hannah do? She chose to love. She didn't stop praying. She was in the house of God. On her knees, the priest thought she was drunk. And she was there deciding to love, choosing to love, and she stayed in prayer. I also want to mention to you, in prayer is a place where vision will energize you. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. I read this about Hudson Taylor, great missionary to China. This is a quote. He said, the sun has not once risen in China in 40 years without finding me on my knees in prayer. Today there are 2 million believers plus probably in China. Can you believe that? Hudson Taylor was not a wealthy man, a rich man, particularly gifted man. He was a humble man. He didn't have money. He just was sold out for God. What was his vision? His vision was souls. He saw Chinese Christians. And he said in 40 years, the sun always found me on my knees. Everyone, isn't that amazing? Vision. Vision in prayer is a gift. What is it that you have stopped believing God for? What is it that you ask the Lord in prayer? Yeah, I learned that again. Sometimes, you know how your children sometimes are your greatest teachers. I was reminded when I thought about this of my son, Neil. Many years ago, we were in a house that I painted. You know, I always painted our homes. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, a woman builds her house. You know that? A woman builds her house. But I didn't build that one, so I figured the least I could do was paint it. So I've just always been the painter of the houses. And I was busy in my kitchen painting one night, and I was ready to give up. It was late, I was tired, and Neil put himself on the kitchen cabinet. Do you remember, son? And he said, no, Mom, you cannot stop right now. Just think how nice it's going to be when you go to bed and the kitchen is all done. And I'm like, be quiet, I want to go to bed. That night, that boy decided to sit on that kitchen counter, and he was not going to let me go. He just kept telling me how amazing it's going to be when this kitchen is done painting. And he kept me going. That kept me going. And I finished it. My other son, we just got back from a trip to Yosemite, and we went hiking. They tell you those trips in Yosemite are hikes. They're not hikes, they climbs. You go all fours, it's climbing, it's not hiking. So 5 or 10 minutes into a five-hour climb, I'm ready to give up. At one point, he carried me. He put me on his back, and he carried me. He said, "No, Mom, you want to see the waterfall at the top. Mom, it's going to be so beautiful, Mom. I just about killed myself. But I went up there, and I reached the top, and it was worth it." In prayer, there's a place that you see, that you envision, that you put your hope so that your faith can go to work. And I want to challenge you, what is it in prayer? What is it that you want from God? What is it? Why have you given up? If you say you don't hear the Lord, it's not really true. Think about the last thing he told you to do. Think about the last thing he answered, the last prayer he answered. Maybe he's still busy working on you on that one. It's not time to move on yet. But God is always speaking. He is always speaking. And you know, that always involves others. There's a role others play. Now, vision, look at Hannah. She's barren. That Hannah saw a son. She asked God for a boy. She saw that baby boy. That's what she wanted. That's what she kept asking the Lord. Lastly, listen, when you're in prayer, be motivated by giving. We cannot go to prayer just for selfishness. You know the scripture that says in James 4, verse 3, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it," not give. Did you notice that? Not give it. "Spend it on your pleasures." That pleasure is not the same word of the pleasures of God. This one means lust and sensual delights. So you pray, the Bible says, but you're not getting, because maybe you are praying to just get, and spend it on your own pleasures. Another thing we do is in Isaiah 55, the motivation for our prayer, the Bible says, "The word, that the word may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Pastor Paul referred to it briefly the other night. And I looked at it again and said, when you pray, God will answer your prayer. Answered prayer come in two of many ways, maybe. But two ways: you get seed and you get bread. But what we sometimes do when we get and we spend it on our pleasures, we don't think about giving. Or we get and it's actually seed God is giving, and then we eat our seed. There was one time that Lord answered a prayer for me. And when I received it in my hand, I was shocked. I said to myself, "Oh God, this cannot possibly be you." And the Spirit spoke to me. He said to me, "If it doesn't look like bread, it's probably seed." And I said, "Okay, this is pretty good for seed." So I decided to just sow it back. And God has multiplied it over and over and over. And the Bible says we don't have, because when God gives us, we just spend it on our own pleasures. Let me tell you what, the beauty and the pleasure in prayer is that you go into prayer with the potential to become a giver. Because when God gives you, he will always give you seed also. There will always be a part to give away. So a place of prayer is a place where it is about a love relationship back and forth between you and God. It's a beautiful place. It is also a place where God gives you a vision and that you believe the Lord for, and you hold on and you do not stop. In the life of Hannah, she didn't stop. She went as far as the giving part and said to the priest, came to her finally and said, "Woman, are you drunk?" And she said, "No, I am just my heart is breaking because I'm here praying, I'm asking for a son." And she said to God, "If you give me a son, I will give him back to you." How amazing is that? A place of prayer is a fantastic place, because it's a place where you believe God for something that will make of you and cause you to become a giver. So think about that when you pray. And the Bible also says, watch out if you've ever vowed something to God, that you pay your vows, you know. It's so easy when we get that bread and that seed in our hand that we just want to eat the seed also. And that is not the will of God. There was Hannah. She prayed and she said to God, "I will give back." And she did. That little boy, I often think about it, breaks my heart as a mom, and I think she was amazing. She took him back to the temple, and the Bible says she was blessed. She had five more children, five more. She had none. She prayed and said, Lord, give me so I'll be able to give. She followed her vow, and God blessed her with five more children. I think three boys and two girls. And it shows us we cannot outgive God. So it's a beautiful place in prayer to be a place where there's love, place where there's vision, there's energy, there's zeal, because God answers prayers. And it is a place that you are in as a potential giver, because when God gives, He gives more than enough. And the more than enough enables you to give away and bless others. This is the word of the Lord tonight. So we're going to go ahead and spend some time in prayer.